Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of The Forgecast. I'm Meridin, and this week I'm joined by...
Melikor.
Melikor.
And Grad.
Let's just talk about some of the new cards. There's a lot of cool stuff.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
About the cards or the decks?
Let's do both. Let's talk about the decks to start.
Okay. We'll start with the alloy.
Okay.
Because what I want to talk about is,
Robot.
Each of these decks have two distinct strategies within them.
Robot.
The Alloyan have your level up cards.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Right. You've got Synapsis and Technosmith. Right, exactly. Yep.
And then you have robots. Two very distinct strategies. The level up cards are really just a support thing.
So
they really can go in any deck.
Yeah, you could toss them in any deck, yeah.
Cause what I was thinking throughout the entire demo is Alloyan needs to be with Utera so I can get my Chogrius. Just in the graveyard.
Right, exactly. Tapped, right, exactly.
Yeah, but you get the same trick with the Forge Play. At level 3...
That's true,
Definitely, it would over two turns.
Useless. It's not useless, but it's not
it's
nearly
useless.
As effective as it's... No, it's a really good wall for that second level.
I find myself actually overwriting it.
I would say that it's a tro is more useless than the Forge Plate at levels 1 and 2, but not by a large margin. Certainly at level 1, they're both 1-1s.
Yep.
The Forge Plate just has a bit of armor.
Yep.
Just a single... Actually, I don't think it will
no,
because
not
of Forge
Plate. The scrap one.
Scrap, yeah.
A scrap for it.
Forge Plate,
yeah,
Forge Plate is good.
Yes.
I knew what you meant. They might not.
Yeah, no, we should keep it clear. There was so many new cards that I'll probably slip up
Forge
on their names
I still
a couple times.
I love that card.
Forge Plate, yeah. I think
I love it.
I think it's
even more now.
Now that we have,
now
tech
that you
upgrade.
Can buff it with robots.
Yeah, exactly. You've got tech upgrade that buffs robots, and you've got other robots that give other robots that plus. So again, we're talking about that synergy. That's great. That's been awesome.
But nothing makes me more sad than trying to use a tech upgrade. And realizing you can't target.
It's
a human.
Yeah.
Oh no!
And there's not a lot of
so
humans
good.
In there.
No. You know, in the terms of flavor, I can see where Technosmith fits into that deck. You know, he's kind of what's building these robots, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does Synapsis Oracle fit in there? You want to know how I envision Synapsis Oracle? They're like the things from Minority Report that sit in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's how I picture that.
That's exactly what I thought.
And maybe that's kind of what they were thinking. I don't know. What do I know? But that's exactly what I picture. It doesn't exactly...
No, the level 3 is, yeah.
The level 3, yeah,
exactly
the level 3
like
is literally the
literally
three of them
like a,
sitting there.
A cinematic.
It's just that two of them are twins.
Yeah, so that's the one that gets kidnapped. She's got black hair. So... You know, I don't see... flavor I'm not concerned with. I like to see it in the starter decks because, believe it or not, a lot of card game players, casual, competitive, doesn't matter, anywhere in between, all like flavored type decks. So I think that they're doing the right, not just tossing a bunch of faction, you know, same faction cards together and making a deck. You know, they know what they're doing. They're orienting...
Well, they're helping cement the personality of each faction as well.
Yes.
With these decks,
exactly.
With the types of things that they're doing and the way that they work together.
Right,
I
and that's something
is,
we're about to touch on and we will come back to.
It's sort of indicative of how they want each faction to feel
to
as
feel,
well.
Exactly.
I'm glad they put the humans in that robot deck because if they made an all-robot deck, it would just be too broken.
I would be
this game
Skynet.
Would be over.
Oh.
If you took... Oh, what's the card from the starter deck that lets you play another card? Is it
Sparkbot? Scout Drone?
Sparkbot's still in there.
Yeah,
Sparkbot is actually
right.
useful now.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Sparkbot in the first demo, and
yeah,
this
he
one
was
is.
Just there.
And now
he's
a robot.
Just there. He's a robot.
With good stats to begin with, like, makes him very strong. But no, if you.
But, yeah,
Scout
Drone action.
If you pop Scout Drone in that deck, it would not be fair.
Yeah.
At all.
Very good.
You'd be hitting level 3s on a ton of stuff. You'd be playing out a ton of stuff. And if you get to a late game with that deck, you can have a really scary line that
doesn't take
damage.
The next deck that I kind of wanted to touch on is what's next on the order is the Utera deck.
Two strategies, Swarm and Buff.
Yes, Swarm and Buff.
One
kind of,
I love and one I hate.
Well, I like them both.
No, because one of them makes those funny
packs. Exactly, see?
I hate that card.
And filling out the board with the West and Hunting Pack.
Yeah, exactly. So, swarming is a viable strategy.
It was always Lavis, right?
And Hills has been, and always will be generally. I mean, well, maybe not in this situation, because you only actually have five lanes.
Yeah, so I mean, you're not going to...
It's actually limited in terms of viability by five
lanes. You would never see a swarm like something in Magic where you get that right card out, and all of a sudden you have, I have 100 1/1 creatures, and they all swing. What do you do? Right,
exactly.
You know.
And while we're looking, kind of like flipping through the deck here, one card that really, really stood out to me, there's actually two that really stood out to me in that fashion deck, and the first one was Spring Dryad.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wording on Spring Dryad is whenever a creature enters play under your control, that makes it Echo Wisp amazing, it makes Yuru amazing, Zemus amazing, Fleshfiend mm-hmm. amazing, all these characters that bring in, some of the new ones, what was the Blight, no, Dark Shaper, the little 1/1,
Deathseeker.
The Deathseeker.
Yeah, it's funny that the things that tend to proc the Necrium benefits, such as a card leaving, tend to proc another card back in.
Exactly.
I think the synergy between... I don't even want to go into it, it would get really scary.
That style. But yeah, you know, and the other card that I thought was actually really, really strong was Shardplate. Right, is that what his name? Shardplate.
He gets a buff at the beginning of every turn. Shardplate Devourer.
Oh, Shardplate Devourer. Yeah, every turn.
I like that card a lot too.
I think is very, very good. I would hope that he flipped it up too many times and broke it. All right, guys.
Broke the demo.
Broke the demo down, guys. But yeah, I think those are the two cards that really stood out in that deck. I mean, we did see some other cards and whatnot.
Yeah, I can't believe that you could talk about this deck without mentioning Packmaster.
Really? You think Packmaster
is love Packmaster. I love Packmaster in this deck. I think it'll become less useful once two-faction decks are the norm and whatnot. But as far as, like, in this particular deck, and a setup with a full mono-faction deck...
Yeah. Very good. Very, very good card. I agree.
But yeah, no, I think by the time we get to the point where we're building decks that we're going to be looking at a lot of two-faction stuff and things that really specify a faction. I think robots, again, would also be, you know, probably less powerful in a mixed deck. Like
I think so too.
When they that much synergy.
Yeah, I feel, you know, that same way, but I feel like the upgrades available or the cards available to Alolan at this point tend to lean more towards a late game, more so mid late game win than a lot of the other decks kind of seem to be early to mid game. So the next deck, I guess we'll talk about that came out, was the Necrom deck. Again, kind of standard. We saw some pretty awesome cards. We saw a lot of cool synergies. We see...
I'm trying to think, because the other decks had two strategies with them. This one really only has one.
Right.
Sack your own dudes more, for a benefit.
Right, it's a more focused feel to the deck. Some of my, you know, I really liked every card in here. I feel the weakest card in this entire deck is Hungering Strike.
It was kind of blah.
It comes in handy.
I've had my testing with it, but I don't feel it's amazing. Another card that I think is you know, I've said it 1,000,000,000,000 times, is Vengeful Spirit. It's going to be a mainstay in almost every deck that can play it.
That card is so good. It's just a sacrifice creature. Put in this lane, sack it to
especially now
to negative the guy across from it and make something happen.
You know, because now we have. Was it Corpse Walker, where you got to sack a creature when he comes into play, and he's a 7/8.
I don't know. That's crawler. One of the ways in which I think Ventral Spirit. I haven't been that big of a fan of Ventral Spirit. I know I've talked about this a little bit.
Yep.
And I don't think it's a bad card, but if your goal is to trade, you lose that.
Well, yeah, but the goal with that card isn't to trade.
Right.
Well, to trade eventually.
Eventually trade is the goal, right.
But what the goal is to weaken their character so that you can trade without losing a guy or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you're not taking as much damage.
Yes. And, you know, I find, and the other card that really stuck out to me is, again, Graveborn Glutton.
I like him. He doesn't fit with what's going on in this deck.
He doesn't fit in the deck, aside from when he dies that they take damage.
Yeah, but you don't want to play him, sacrifice him.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't survive combat, so you could...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel that's another great card. The art's good. The general focus of the card is good. I mean, it's a solid card, and that's what I want to see from Stoneblade. I want to see more cards that you can just look at and go, this card is just good all around. He fits the theme of if I want to sacrifice him. He's good enough to keep on the board. You know what I mean? He fits the overall
and he's benefit if they kill him.
Exactly, exactly. That's what I want to see ultimately from these guys is solid cards like that across the board for everything.
I think it's a neat card. The only thing that bugs me about it is that his ability doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why
random,
some
random number
glutton dies and then does damage to you. Like,
because he's a sin, dude. Gluttony's like, a sin.
Does he, you know, does he explode all over you? Well, are we going, you know, left for dead here with the?
Yeah.
You know what? That should be the animated version of him.
The bug left for dead. Yes,
that would kind of make a little more sense to me. As it is, there's just.
So here's an idea: would you trade off his statistics for more of a death effect, like two opposing adjacent creatures take damage?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's kind of the if it's gonna fit in with.
With the sacrifice theme?
Yeah. That I don't think he has a lot of benefit to playing and sacking immediately, whereas there's cards like my favorite thing to do, and I'm probably going to end up realizing it's not as fun as I think it is now, but to play a Death Seeker into a Corpse Walker.
Yes.
Because you can sack the Death Seeker and you're and get, straight up. Now, you lose a turn of a free block, but if it was
or
something with Breakthrough anyway, then...
And, then what's the point?
And the fact is that you got to have something to sack for a Corpse Walker. I think it's a really strong card. And so being able to have just kind of this throwaway, not to mention you got a Grimgaunt on the board, and he gets buffed up, and then you get two strong creatures. Like,
right. Necrom deck
that's just fun to me.
Yes.
I've enjoyed pulling that trick.
Actually, you know, on the topic of fun, I think all the decks are fun. And
yeah, I think that's fair. They're all fun to play. I think they're all fun to play against each other. I know the night it came out, my wife and I tested pretty much every combination, and all the games were fun. None of them felt really unbalanced or tedious to play.
Right, exactly. And then obviously the next deck that we've got going is the Tempsy deck. Which, again, is another...
Well, let's start off by saying this is probably the strongest of the decks.
Yes, I agree. This deck is very, focused. It's very focused.
This one is incredibly focused.
You pretty much get what you want to do just by kind of looking through the deck list. Like, oh, that guy kills their creatures. Oh, that spell can target their creature. You know what I mean? Like, you get the feeling that you want to nuke their creatures and just get through with fatties. Like, that's just smash into them as hard as possible is the feel you get from the deck. And I think it's very focused on that.
They also have the two of the best rares.
They do.
If we
are going by
the assumption that these are rares, the one of them are rares.
Exactly. I think Rageborn Hellion is amazing.
A little too amazing.
It may be a little too amazing.
Yeah, and really, here's the problem with Hellion is that it procs once for every person that hits, and it procs once for every Hellion on the board.
And yes. It affects every creature.
And it affects every creature.
Yeah.
A moderate turn, you're getting a lot of buff across the board.
And we were talking, just before we did this cast, we were talking about ways to fix this, because it's very strong. And Nick had the option of making it...
When he deals damage, he buffs your team. When any creature deals damage, it just buffs him.
Right. You're not buffing everything as much as, you know, as it is now. I mean...
Because you can play him, get through with a couple creatures, and suddenly your board is unstoppable.
Exactly. That, you know, and that's very... Again, that's very Tempsy-oriented. They're very swiftness. They play around these keywords almost. You know, swiftness is, you know, the other card that's simply amazing in the Tempsy deck is the Flamestruck Shaman. The ability, I think he blows Volcanic Giant out of the water in terms of what he does. The fact that he's a 5/5 like Volcanic Giant, but his ability is infinitely more useful by giving adjacent creatures haste, especially in the theme of this deck where you've got Hellion and Flameblade running rampant.
Yeah, it leads into some really nice combos in my experience. Having that on the board and then being able to get out some cards to quickly... So, all right, here, I'm going to bring up real quickly an aside. We just had the demo crash again on the iPad. How do we submit a bug report?
That happens a lot.
How do we go ahead and do this whole beta thing? There, so I'm glad. Go ahead and let us know. Now that we're in beta, how we help you.
Yeah, help us help you. All
right. Not that I think there's a lot we can do with the iPad, and certainly we didn't get a crash dump there. We didn't get any information that we could
send them. It may be behind the scenes, because I know iOS does have
behind the scenes. I'm sure it is happening to a degree, but if we're in beta, I want...
It's not just us, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The iPads at work, they're doing the same exact thing, so...
Yeah, I've had... There's been some people that complained about stability, and that's... I mean, that's to be expected in something early, but that's the whole point of this, is that we're supposed to be helping...
Figure out these issues.
Like, let us help. Give us a platform where we can help.
In that situation, we tried to double tap Rift Shaper or whatever it was, and it should have exploded.
Or the scrolling gets stuck.
Or the scrolling gets stuck when you try to scroll too much. Or... or, you know, there's all these other things. So
all these things that Marcus keeps doing.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the ultimate bug tester right now, is finding all of them. But yeah, going back to talking about the deck, I think that the ability to give a creature haste within the context of a Tempest deck, especially their creatures that benefit so much from being able to hit the enemy, you find an empty lane, you can give them haste, and you get a guarantee.
Exactly.
That's one of the reasons I like Asurion Mystic so much, is because you get the haste built right in, and you get the benefit.
How is he not Leaps and Bounds better than Lightning Worm?
Yeah.
How is he not Leaps and Bounds better than Lightning Worm? Buff Lightning Worm.
Basically.
Or nerf Asurion, exactly.
Yeah, the last card we need to talk about is Windcaller Shaman.
Windcaller Shaman, huh?
This is a card that, Something's not right with it. He's basically a card that says, I can never leave a lane open, period.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Or else I could have my board wiped.
Exactly. I don't know.
You know, I haven't...
I think you're going to see a lot of trickery with him, but I don't know. I mean, he's his stats to start are really good.
They are.
Really good stats. Like, those are like numbers that can trade with a lot of things.
He becomes an 8-12.
And then a 13-17.
Well, 13-17 you could deal with. It's 8-12 is a lot for level 2.
Is really good, right. So yeah, we'll see a lot of cool trickery with him. I'm excited to see him. I think his usage, as with most card games goes, is going to be based on the metagame. I don't think he's going to be a staple all the time. He may be in certain
games. It also depends on the deck.
Exactly. But yeah, another extremely powerful card that it'll probably be just overlooked in favor of something else that may be more focused towards, you know, as it is now. A lot of players are probably just going, as much damage as possible, fill it with something else.
But him plus Flameblade Jam
is going to be played together every single time. It's a great, great combo.
Yeah, I think Move is a mechanic in general that is going to be...
You actually have to attack with him.
It's going to end up being underestimated.
Yes. Move is something that's fairly new, would you say, to a...
Yeah, I mean, the concept of it, to people like me coming from a kind of casual Magic the Gathering playground, you know, background, I haven't played a DCG in a while. I know there are other TCGs that use a lane mechanic, but none that I've ever been familiar with. This is kind of my first experience with it, and the more I play, the more I realize how integral and how strong the ability to shift positions of your cards really is.
Right, yes, it really is.
And so I expect that there will be players like me who underestimate that tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm under the impression a fair number of them are going to learn about it the hard way.
Yeah.
They're going to get in the game, indeed. And they're going to be like, well, you're going to move. So I don't care if you have move. And then it's going to be like, wait, you can sneak through here. And, now you're proccing all these abilities off of being able to get the attack you want and get the trade you want.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, the starter decks are fantastic.
Yep.
They are all exactly
showcase what these factions can do.
Right, exactly. And you're not pigeonholing a faction at this point. You are showing the strong suits of the faction.
No, and especially with a lot of the decks, we've seen multiple kind of ways to win with them.
Even
within the deck.
Uh-huh.
I think that shows, you know, the idea that it's not just going to be do this or this or that. It's not rock, paper, scissors. We're going to have a lot of options within faction for differentiating the decks. And again, this is one third of the final card set, approximately based on what we've been told about final numbers of the core set 2013. And that'll do it for episode 6 of the Forge Cast. Thank you all for joining us, and as always, if you have any questions or feedback, feel free to reach us on our website, www.forgegamers.com.